6, if you'll look there with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Two verses of scripture here tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, I understand that we don't live in a world or in a culture where there's slaves and servants necessarily. But we do understand that this passage of Scripture does apply to our daily Christian experience, in that we are to do what we do and do it from our heart, and not out of eye service or like the employer, only when the employer's watching do we do it. But we do it as unto Christ. We do it not as slaves or servants out of eye service, but we do it because we have a heart to please God. Amen. And I just wanted to take a few minutes here tonight and talk to you about the will of God. The will of God, and how important that it is that all of us be seeking the will of God. Now, you may think, well, that's only for young people to seek the will of God. It doesn't matter if you're 15 or if you're 50 or what age bracket you're in or what phase of your life that you're in. It is important at every phase of your life to be seeking to please God and to do the will of God. Amen. And to do it from your heart. You want to please God, and you want to do God's will with your life. Amen. I know that when you're seeking the will of God, you're asking questions like, you know, what do I want to do? What kind of work do I want to do? And all these questions that people ask when they're seeking the will of the Lord. But it's a mistake to be focused on yourself, me, my, what I want, what I think is important. As a Christian, the most important thing is, what does God want to do with me? Amen. As a young person, or whatever place in life you find yourself in, you need to remember that you were created by God, and He has a calling and a purpose and a design for your life, and you're never really going to be fulfilled in life. You're never going to understand the joy of the Lord until you find that place that is the center of the will of God for your life. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For by Him were all things created." All things were created by Him and for Him. And that includes you. You were created by God and for God. Amen. Your life is to be put in the hands of the Lord for whatever He chooses to do with your life. And that's the place of fulfillment. That's the place of real joy. Whenever, as a Christian, you put your life into the hands of the Lord and you determine, Lord, it's not what I want. It's not my purpose. It's not my desire, but You created me and You designed me, and You do with me what You choose to do with me. Amen. And I understand that you can set goals and aim high and try to accomplish a lot of things with your life, but none of it is going to really matter if you are not following the will of God for your life. None of it's going to make any difference if you are not doing what God has called you to do. Amen. You know, when Jesus came on the scene in the Gospels, his the most favorite term that he used referring to God was, he called him Father. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he called him Father 65 times. In the Gospel of John, he called him Father 100 times. So I think we need to realize that he is not only our creator and has created us to fulfill his purpose for our life, but also to realize that he is our heavenly Father. And that, you know, there's no more wonderful term to describe what God wants and how that God wants to work in your life than to understand that he is your heavenly Father. Amen. And he wants to help you. Amen. He's not against you. He's for you. He wants to direct your steps. He wants to lead you. He wants to provide for you. That's what a good natural father does. That they're going to be for you. Even if you mess up, even if you make mistakes, a good father is going to step in to try to help you, try to help you recover, try to help you get back on track. They're not going to forsake you. I mean, others might. But a good father is going to step in to try to help you get back in line with your purpose and with your calling. Amen. And get beyond the mistakes of your life. And I know that many times I've heard people, and I think it's a big mistake, they think of the will of God as like this, walking this tightrope. And if you mess up, if you get off of that tightrope and you fall, You are just messed up and you've ruined your life. But that's not our Heavenly Father. That's the kind of relationship we have with him. And that means that, yeah, you might make a few mistakes. You might move in a direction that you shouldn't go, but your Heavenly Father is always there to guide you and to help you to get back on track. Amen. My dad wasn't a Christian all the years I was growing up. But there was a time or two, and my dad, I've described him before, he was a man of very few words. I mean, he was as quiet could be, and very few words. But if he did speak to you, you paid attention because you knew that it meant something. First of all, it took a lot for him to speak up, and it meant a lot because his words were few. Now, I do remember a particular time in my teenage years when I was kind of veering away a little bit from some things that were important and I shouldn't have gotten involved in. And I remember that he came to my room. My dad came to my room, and I'm telling you, when it happened, I thought, oh my goodness, this is big, because he didn't have much to say to me. But he came into my room and he said, "Now, I know I don't go to church, but I just want you to know that I think you're making some bad decisions here. You're going in a direction that's not good for you." Let me tell you, it was life-changing for me. And the reason it was is because he was my dad, and I knew he cared. And I knew that it took a lot for him to come in and to advise me and to counsel me and to try to help get me back on track. That's the kind of relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. He's not looking for you to make a mistake and get out of the will of God, and then he's going to beat you on the head for doing it. No, he is your Heavenly Father, and he wants to restore you. He wants to get you back on track, back in that place, so that you can please the Lord. That's the kind of relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Amen. He's not just waiting for you to mess up. He is there for you to help you. He will strengthen you. He will guide you and direct you. That's our Heavenly Father that will help you to fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen. Praise God. That's what a natural father does. And so you can certainly believe that your Heavenly Father is going to help you to do the will of God. Amen. He's going to help you to follow the plan that God has for your life. Amen. So God is a God who has provided for us a Heavenly Father that cares about us, But not only that, he is a God of grace. A God of grace. That doesn't mean that he overlooks our mistakes or that he overlooks our failures. But really, the God of grace gives to us the power to do what's right. Amen. The power to be in step with his purpose for our life. Amen. If you lean on your own instinct, if you lean on your own decisions that you're making, and you're making decisions about your life or your future, let me tell you, you're going to mess up pretty quick on your own ability. But we have the strength and the provision of the Lord, the grace of God that empowers us to be able to do the will of God, to do what he's asking us to do. And so instead of lean on your own understanding and lean on your own instinct about decisions that you're making about the will of God, understand that you have the grace of God that can help you to do what is right. Amen. Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what will be the result of that? What will be the effect of that renewing of your mind? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. There can be a renewing of your mind that takes place by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that causes you to be able to think in ways that are not your natural ways to think. Not your natural ability to reason things, but the grace of God that comes and renews your mind and gives you an ability to make sound decisions that are pleasing to God, to follow the will of God. Amen. Set the direction of your life by setting your heart on the things of God and on the Word of God so that your mind can be transformed and renewed by the Word of the Lord. Amen. So let me just give you a few suggestions here tonight on how that you can do the will of God from your heart. How you can do the will of God from your heart. First of all, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. Cover to cover. It's all the Word of God. And even the parts that you don't necessarily like. It's all the Word of God. And it's all given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable for you. For doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God provides for us the wisdom and the ability to do the will of God, to do what God wants us to do. So you start with the Bible. Amen. If you're making big decisions, if you're looking at this week or next month or things that are ahead and making decisions, shut out the things of the world, shut out all the other voices and look to God. Start with the Bible. Amen. Start with the Word of the Lord. And you're not just opening up the Bible, you know, looking for God to speak to you through the pages of the Scripture to say, do this, do that, don't do that. But you're looking because you want to have the mind of God. You want to have the heart of God. And you can do that whenever you spend time with the Word of the Lord. So you start there. You start with the Word of God. Remember that God is a God that speaks. And he primarily speaks to us through the pages of the Scripture. Amen. So we spend time with the Bible because he wants to speak to you about your life, about your future, about the coming weeks and months and years that are ahead for you. Again, if you're a young person, if you're a middle-aged person, if you're an older person, it doesn't matter. God has a purpose and a will for the rest of your life. And the way to find out what God wants to do with you is to start with God's Word. Start with the Bible. What does the Bible say? Sure, God uses people. Sure, he uses circumstances. But all of these things will always have to be in line with the Word of God. So any counsel you get outside of the Word of God, if it does not agree with the Word of God, throw it aside. You don't need that advice. You don't need that counsel. Make sure that every word you're hearing, every word is in line with the Word of the Lord. Amen. So start with the Bible. Amen. Number two, and then in prayer, and by primarily, I'm talking about prayerful times that you are listening and waiting on God. Amen. Too much of our prayer is petition, request. God, I need this. God, I want that. God, could you help me in this area? But there's another aspect of prayer that's really important, especially if you're desiring to know the will of God, and that is time spent listening to the voice of God. Amen. Listening to the voice of God. Some of you may have seen the little video. I saw it. I don't know where we're at. Somewhere I saw it on maybe Facebook or somewhere. Someone had put a video up of a whole field of sheep. And then there had different people stepping up to a fence to try to call the sheep. And it's the cutest little video because a lady steps up to the fence and she tries to call the sheep, and the sheep are just feeding and they totally ignore her. And she's laughing and trying to call the sheep. And then a man steps up to the fence and he tries to call the sheep. He's calling and calling. The sheep totally ignore all these different people until the shepherd steps up. When the shepherd steps up to the fence and he starts calling, hundreds of sheep, they raise their heads. They start making their noise and calling back to the shepherd. And the hundreds of those sheep start running toward the shepherd. Amen. Glory to God. John chapter 10 and verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Praise God. Amen. So if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, then you need to ask, if you're seeking the will of God, then you need to ask, what is the Bible saying to me? Yeah. Then you need to ask the question, what is the Spirit of God saying to me? Yeah. What is God's Spirit speaking to me as I'm listening for His voice to speak to me? Amen. And you'll know the voice of the Spirit of God whenever God begins to speak to you and call your name. Amen. Third, wise counsel. Wise counsel. Amen. I heard a preacher describing many years ago, he was going to start a church in the city of Detroit. He was in his late 20s to go and found a church in Detroit. He had the opportunity to talk to David Wilkerson, can you imagine? And to get his advice about what to do as he started this church. And Brother Wilkerson said, well, two things. Number one, if you will always feed the poor, then you'll never have any financial problems. You'll have all the money you need if you feed the poor. And then he said, number two, get gray heads in your life. He said, don't take advice from all these peers and all these young people. He said, find some gray heads in your life and get good counsel from some gray heads. Amen. 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 Too often our counsel comes from our peers or it comes from our friends. Or we seek out the counsel of people that we think are always going to agree with us. Don't do that. Seek out the counsel of those that have been down the road. Seek the counsel of those that have had experience and have a lot of wisdom because of their many years of experience. Don't listen to all the voices. That means shut out the internet and shut out the podcast and all the other things that are wanting to advise you. And talk to some people and get some counsel from some people that are wise and older and have spiritual experience in their life. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Seek counsel. Proverbs 15 and 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Praise God. Amen. Get some good counsel. Amen. And call on those that could advise you. They might may not be the ones that you want to hear from, but seek out someone. And actually, don't take advice from those that are trying to insert themselves into your life. Go after those that you have to ask to come into your life. Some wise ones that can come and that you can ask them, hey, could I have a little bit of your time? I need some advice. I need some counsel. And of course, all of the counsel will have to be weighed by the measure of the Word of God. But it's always good to get some good, wise counsel. Amen. Praise God. And I can tell you down through the years, many years, when I was a young pastor in my 20s, and that I would go through things and I did not know what to do. I did not have any idea what the next step should be. There were different pastors who were much older than me that I called on. I can remember a couple of times calling Brother D.C. Branham in Neosho and saying, Brother Branham, this is what I'm dealing with, and could you advise me and counsel me? And oh, good advice, good counsel, good wisdom. I oftentimes over the years would talk to Brother Huff and ask him for counsel and wisdom. Thank God that there are those that God brings into your life that can help you and give you counsel, and it's a wise thing. So what does the Bible say? What does the Spirit of God say as you are listening to the voice of the Lord? What do wise counselors say? Amen. About decisions that you are making. Amen. Number four, what do your authorities say? Those that God has put into your life, those authorities. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So God sets up authorities. He establishes a hierarchy of authority in your life. And whatever your situation might be, if you're a young person, then you have mother and father that you can go to, even grandfather and grandmother that you can go to seek good godly counsel. You can go to other spiritual leaders in the church, your pastor or other spiritual leaders in the church for good godly counsel. Submit to authority. It's a big mistake to disregard authorities that God has placed in your life. So what does the Bible say? What does the Spirit of God say? Amen. What do the wise counselors say that are in your life? And what do your spiritual authorities say about decisions that you are making? Amen. I know we live in a time right now when there's a terrible disregard for authority. You know, a society and a culture is breaking down when there's all of this disregard for authority, disregard for the police, disregard for those appropriate authorities. And the book of Judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't seek out counsel, but we have been called to honor those that are in authority. Amen. To respect those that are in authority and even seek the advice and the counsel of those that are in authority. So what does the Bible say? What is the Spirit of God saying? What are your wise counselors saying? What does the voice of authority in your life, what are they saying? As you're seeking to do the will of God in your life. And then one more thing. What are circumstances? What is providence saying? Amen. Do you understand that God works through circumstances? Providential things that are happening in your life? Amen. To recognize that God many times worked through providential arrangements, different things that are going on in your life. All of these things, of course, are subject to the Word of God. Even the circumstances in your life. You don't just go on the circumstance, but you make sure it's in line with all of these other things that God is using to direct your steps and to lead you in the will of God. So what does providence say in your life? Amen. Amen. Instead of, you know, I lost my job. Oh no, what am I going to do? Instead of that, a Christian would say, well, I lost my job. God must have something better for me. Amen. God must be directing my steps in some new way, because God is, he can be trusted. Amen. And the whole idea of providence is just the idea that God will be your provider. He will be your provider, and he will take care of you no matter what. Romans 8:28 is that wonderful verse. We know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say that everything is good that's happening to you. It just means that everything is going to work together for good. Amen. All of these circumstances, they may not be individually good, but whenever the plan of God is being unveiled, God can use all of these circumstances in your life. Amen. All things work together for good. They're not necessarily all good, but they can work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So God can work through circumstances in your life. Sometimes even negative things that happen in your life, God uses those negative circumstances to help you to be aware. Well, God may close this door, but that just means he's going to open another door. This circumstance is not working out, but no doubt God is going to work in some other area of my life, because he is providentially at work in my life. Amen. Praise God, sir. If you're seeking the will of God, you start with the Bible. Renew your mind in the word of the Lord. Amen. What does the Bible say? Then what is the Spirit of God saying as you spend time waiting and listening for the voice of the Lord? You're going to have to get quiet. Amen. You're going to have to turn off a lot of other things. You're going to have to give some time to wait on the Lord and to listen to the voice of the Lord. But what does the Bible say? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? What are your wise counselors saying to you? What are your spiritual authorities saying to you? And what is providence saying? Your circumstances. What are they? You add this all together, and you've got some wonderful directives to know how to stay in line with the will of God. Amen. Amen. I want to do the will of God, and I believe that you want to be right in the center of the will of God for your life. Amen. That your life is not just what you want it to be, but it's what God wants. Amen. That you're wanting to do the will of God from the heart. You don't want to do your wishes, your desires, but you want to please God, and you want your life to please God, and for all the things that are happening in your life, for it to the sum total of it to bring glory to God, to honor the Lord with your life. Amen. Praise God. So it really doesn't matter, as I've already said. I understand that people, I've read this before, between the ages of 6 and 16 and 26 are the years that people are making the most crucial life decisions during those years. So especially in that decade of your life, some very critical decisions that you're making about your life and your future, you better be in the Word of God. You better be listening to the voice of God. You better be seeking out some wise counsel. You better be spending time paying attention to the spiritual authorities that God has put in your life and looking at the circumstance and the providential hand of God in your life during those years. But not just those years, but when you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, whatever age bracket that you might find yourself in, God has a purpose for your life till the day you die. Amen. Till you take your last breath, God has a purpose, and he's created you and designed you and to fulfill his will and his purpose. And No greater joy, no greater fulfillment in life than knowing that you are walking in the center of the plan of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. And I know, Lord, that you can help us tonight to take instruction from the word of the Lord. Lord, that our ears would be open to your voice. Just like the sheep, pay attention to the shepherd only. Help us, Lord, to be in tune to the voice of the Spirit of God. That we would hear your voice, Lord. And not follow after the thinking, the philosophy, the ways of the world. Not listening to all the other voices that are around us. But instead, Lord, help us to shut all those voices out and listen to the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. And do the will of God from the heart. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together, everybody.